Staying Christian, greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I have counted it a privilege to be able to travel and to be with you and to share in your worship service thus far this morning. I also want to extend a welcome to you if you make it to New York to come visit us. We enjoy that as well, and we want to welcome you to that. As we went through that Sunday school hour, there's one thing that kept coming to my mind, and that was I was tying last week's lesson. And Jehoshaphat had made such a determined effort to serve the Lord. And our lesson today said about 15 years later, and it showed where it went. What happened? The burden comes to me, what can I do for my children? That they choose right and don't lose out 15 years later or less. So I want to pass that burden on to you as well. Well, I don't know where to spring my message from. There's a lot of different options. And I've titled my message of this morning, Peace in Turmoil. Peace in Turmoil. And you know, we read that memory passage there in the third verse there. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's turmoil, there's no peace. And then we sang that last song, children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather. There's protection there, there's peace there. What a blessing we can have in that. Well, the message title says that there's peace and turmoil. It tells us that there's not an absence of turmoil. We live in this world today, and there is turmoil here. There's trials, there's trouble here. Whether it's the COVID, whether it's the protests that are going on, whether it's not able to go to work, and the bills get tight. Or as we were driving here and we hear about these things in the news about this Amish girl that disappeared. Turmoil. We live in this world. And there's so many times that we can lose this absence of peace. This morning for the message, as we go through this message, I want to look at the difference between the world's peace and the peace we can have in God. The first part of the message there, we want to look at the world's peace and what the peace the Christian can have in God and what's the difference in it. First Corinthians 14, verse 33. Let's read that. Let's turn our Bibles to that. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 33 says this, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And we're just going to use that verse there. We're going to leave it out there for a text verse to realize that God is the author of peace. He's not the author of turmoil. He's not the author of confusion. But He wants peace for each and every one of us. All right, what's the world's peace? As we think of today, the world we live in, what is the world's peace based on? Well, the world's peace a lot of times is based on feelings. Do you feel safe? In the United States of America, today while you're here, do you feel safe? And if you feel safe in this world, your fear, your worry goes down. You start to get this feeling of safe. But oftentimes we see in this world as we view life and its circumstances that come, there's worry, there's fear that come. And so how is the world's peace? Is it very strong? No, it isn't. It's hard sometimes to have the feelings of peace in our world today. The opposite's true when we go to God and His peace that He can give to us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We have a number of verses here this morning to turn to. I make no apologies for it. The Word can speak to us as we go through the message. Hebrews 10, verse 22. God's peace. And this first one, as I think of God's peace, and we said the world's peace is dependent on feelings. God's peace is dependent on trust. This is the basis of it, though. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We were cleansed by the Word and by God and His blood that was shed for us. Our sins are forgiven. They're washed away. And we're thankful for that. And we put our trust in that. Full assurance of faith. Do you rest this morning that your sins are washed away? Are you trusting and are you believing the truth of the Word? Full assurance of faith. It's not dependent on trust. It's dependent on the fact that Jesus came and died for us and His blood washed away our sins. That's why we can have peace of God, God's peace in our life, because we can trust Him. And He has paid the price for us. And His salvation is for us today. James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Trust in God to take away your sin. Well, when we trust, it means that we have set our hearts to believe God. To take away our sins. But beyond that, whatever may happen to us. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter 5. Verse 7. A very familiar scripture to us. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your anxiety, casting all your worries, casting all your concerns. Once, again, for all, on Him, for He cares for you. How does He care for you? The Amplified says this, affectionately and cares for you watchfully. He cares about you affectionately. He has such a love for you. We need to cast our care on God and let go of them. He has it in his hand. We need to trust Him. And I challenge us this morning. God's peace is because we can trust. Our peace that we can have in God is because we can trust Him and His plan for us. Well, the second one, as I ponder the world's peace. The world's peace. It's external. It must be seen. You need to see the outworking of that. It must be put into action. There must be something that produces it. You must have that something visual. And when you get that, it produces a feeling of security. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder as I ponder these protesting and that. And you look at the people that are, you know, as I was growing up, I saw a police officer, and if I wasn't doing anything wrong, they give you a sense of security, that they're there for your good and the good of the people. Now, maybe today we wonder. I think each and every one of us here should still feel that way, but the protesting that goes on in that, You wonder sometimes where people put their trust in this world. It produces anything but peace. Because they can't visualize it. They can't get that sense of security that can come from that. What about God's peace? Does God's peace, to have God's peace in your life, is there something that you need to see? I'd like to say this morning, God's peace is internal. It's inside you. The world's is external. God's is internal. There's no need for it to be seen. Why? Because we have faith in Him. Our peace with God is built on faith in His Son and His shed blood for us. What is faith? Faith, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's future. We can't see it. It's not seen. But God's peace can be there because we are looking forward to something more and we trust and we have that peace because we know that God's word is true and we build on that faith and allow it to take hold in our lives. The third one, the world's peace, doesn't have any time for troubles. It don't allow any time for troubles. If there's any trouble, if there's any conflict, it soon destroys the trust. It destroys the peace of the world. And the protests start. That's the world's peace. Well, in the Christian life, God's peace allows for troubles. Turn back a few passages to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 3. We allow for troubles as we have God's peace in our life. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It allows for troubles. We view troubles as a means of strengthening our faith, of being stronger for God. It's just another stepping stone for our faith in God to just realize that we just lay it all out to Him. There's troubles in life, but He has it all in His control, and we rest in that. Well, the fourth one, the world's peace feels that you need to manage the situation. The world peace feels they must manage the situation. There's many times this can get close to us. We feel like things get out of our control. And we must do something to bring it back into control. And so we maybe it can be in the workplace. Maybe you put it where it is. But we feel to bring peace to the situation, we've got to micromanage it and we've got to manage what's happening. And we're going to bring it back into control as much as we can, and we're going to take a hold of it. And when we get it under our control, then we have peace. No, temporary peace maybe. But that's not what the Lord's peace is. We need not manage the situation when we have God's peace in our life. And we go to that familiar verse in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. We work with situations. We work with everything that we come in contact to strive for peace. But then we finally say, the Lord's doing a bigger picture here. And we rest in peace in His leading. Everything works together for good to them that love God. And we let Him take control. Well, the world peace, the fifth one. As we look at the world peace, they try to control. The world peace, man does everything he can in his power to suppress and to control the world. And the United States has tried that for so long. And it has tried to control what is happening so much. They try to control other nations so they can't have nuclear bombs. They try to control, you put it there. You read the news as well as I do. But the world strives to, United States strives to control. And they try to bring that world peace from that. But it don't happen. But what is the peace, God's peace in our lives? We don't go there. We trust God to be in control of our lives. When we strive to be in control, we destroy peace in our spiritual life. We set ourselves up for disappointment. No, we must. We must let God be in control of our life. What about the world peace, the sixth one? It ultimately fails. The world peace fails. Why? Because it's relying on man's thinking and reasoning. And it's built and put in place by feeble man. How much peace can you bring into the world? Not much. God's peace is there, though. It doesn't fail. It's faithful. It's there for us. It always endures. Psalm 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generation." It's there for us, for every generation. It'll be there for the future generations. Brings me to the second part of the message. We know there's turmoil in the world about us. We know there's trials out there. The world is striving for peace. God's peace is there. It's there for us. What must we do to claim God's peace? That's the second point of the message. What must we do to claim God's peace? Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 34, verse 18. There's something we must do. Something we must do. Psalm 34, verse 18. "For the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." What must we do to claim God's peace? We first of all need to be broken. Have a broken and contrite heart, one that is at the end of itself. It is at the altar of God, and it is done with self. It is only then that we can reach out and accept His provision of salvation. When we are still trying to do it on our own, there is no salvation. We must come to the end of ourselves and realize it is only through Jesus and His shed blood that we can have forgiveness of sins and have that peace in our life. When we come with that broken and contrite heart, we can rest in God's power, His wisdom, His leading, His provision is in our life. If we don't do that, if we don't rest in God and His power in our life and His outworking in our life, we can be guaranteed that we're going to struggle. We're going to keep bouncing along in our Christian life. Maybe even failure. Maybe in defeat. Because we are not broken and contrite. We're not relying on the power of God as we ought to. We're not letting Him lead in our lives as we ought to. Without letting go and letting God, things will be out of our control. And we can't manage the situations that come our way. No, let's just leave it in God's hands. Let's rest. Peace in turmoil. Yes, it's there for us. Whatever is going to happen is in God's control. I've heard testimonies of people that are in this pandemic that we're in. Some people are reacting so much in fear. And they try to take it in their hands and control it so much. And I don't want to get my feelings too much mixed up in it, but you know, you put your mask on because it's just one thing that you can do visually, that you're going to protect yourself. Can we not? I've heard testimonies of people, and it has blessed me that they say, if the Lord decides that I'm going to be taken out of this life through COVID, His will be done. I don't think we react foolishly. We don't do that. But can we have that peace? That everything is in God's control. And we don't need to manage the situation. We just let Him take control of our lives. We have that broken and contrite heart. We let Him do His work in us. One other thing I have that we must do to claim God's peace. And you can turn in your Bibles to John 14. John 14, verse 17. John chapter 14, verse 7. Even the Spirit... Let's go back up to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'd like to pull out, what must you do to claim God's peace? Is receive God's Spirit of truth, that Comforter that is with us. The world can't receive it because it doesn't see Him in it. It doesn't see God's plan. He doesn't see God's big picture in what is happening. The Holy Spirit is what leads you into all truth. You realize that God is truth, and you read God's Word, and you study God's Word, and you realize the end times are coming. We don't need to be afraid of it. We can rest in peace in God, that He has everything in His control, and that we are at peace with Him. And if we die, we'll go to be with Him. We can have that assurance. We have that Spirit of truth. We rest in the truth of God's Word. We rest that we are going to walk with Him and be with Him in glory. So my challenge to us is, what must we do to claim God's peace? Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Let the Comforter in, that He may work with you and lead you into all truth. The third point of the message as I go. Third thing I'd like to look at as we think of peace and turmoil. What is our duty? What is our duty in response to the turmoil in our nations? And I read an article in the Doctrines of the Bible. And I'd just like to read that as I pondered in this message here. And I read this. What is our duty in response to the turmoil in the nations? This is what it said. Real Christians are honest, upright, industrious, thrifty, as a rule, substantial taxpayers, on the right side of all questions pertaining to morality and virtue, causing a country to blossom as a rose wherever they settle and have a real chance to make good. The Christian citizen invariably expects an uplifting influence in any country giving him shelter. Let me read that again. I said the wrong word there. The Christian citizen invariably exerts an uplifting influence in any country, giving him shelter, and except where the blind passion prevails over the highest interests of the country, is usually welcomed by the nation. That's a reading I took from the Doctrines of the Bible. And I pondered as I read that. Are we doing that in our world today? Are we honest people? Are we upright people? Are we industrious? Are we thrifty? Are we substantial taxpayers? Are we giving what we can to our nation? What about our moral life? What about our moral life? Are we as morally pure as we are called to be? As the Bible calls us to be? Our nation today needs that. It needs someone that's going to stand for truth and right. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Are you that salt? Are you that preserving effect? Are you those that are building up a nation? It is one of our responses and duties to wherever you live, whatever nation you become under, to be a light and a witness. The second one that I have is, what is our duty in response to the turmoil in the nations? Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. It's only going to read the first two verses, but I think we're going to read the first five. And as we look at this, what is our duty in response to the turmoil in the nations? Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. And we go on to verse 6 there. For this cause pay you tribute also. There's a paying taxes again that we looked at in the first part. What is our duty in response to the turmoil in the nations? It is a responsibility that we have to be subject to the powers that God has placed in our lives. As long as it don't contradict with the scripture and what we find there. And I ponder sometimes as we went through this pandemic and we had these orders to stay at home. We have orders to do social distancing. And I've thought of this verse many times. But there comes a point in time when we are called to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. It's one of the verses I think about. We had ministers' meeting and we talked about this past week, and we talked a little bit about what our churches are doing as far as the holy kiss. When do you support the higher powers, the powers of this United States of America, and when do you fulfill scriptural commands? It's a challenge, brothers and sisters. We must, in these trying times, I come in my heart, and I'm going to share it with you, we must come to the place where we never, never lose the principle. We have not lost it in our forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We obeyed for a while, and finally, we still want to obey, but we see the need to get together. We see the need for fellowship. I believe the same. We must never lose. Let's take the holy kiss, for example. We must never lose that. We see the value of refraining from it now. I don't know what you're doing here. I know one brother just gave me a handshake. The other one greeted me with a kiss. I don't know where you're at. That's all right. We're still refraining from it in New York. But there is a time, I believe, when we're going to maybe just going to say, we must do what the Bible commands. It is our duty and response to be subject to that higher power. But let's never, never forget that our most highest power we have is God and His Word. There's turmoil in our nations today. Let us be faithful in listening to God's Word. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 3. There's one more I'd like to tie into maybe this point a little bit. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is your prayer life like? What is my prayer life like? We are called today, as we look at the turmoil in the nations, we're called to do intercessory prayer for them. For the kings, for our leaders of our land, for your governor, even if you don't agree with him, pray for him. Sometimes I can read the news and I can get a little frustrated about my governor. But did I pray for him? Challenge your heart today. Did you pray for him? That you may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Let's be faithful in doing that. What is your duty? Your duty is to pray for him. Be an intercessor for them. Well, closing thought. When you look at the peace of the world and the peace that God gives you, in the first point of the message, we looked at the peace and we noticed that the world's peace gives out. The world's peace gives out right when man needs it the most. Right when you reach into turmoil, that's when the world comes to turmoil, that's when their peace is gone. Their peace fails right when you need it the most. But the peace of God is opposite. It's there right when you need it the most. It's a peace that can keep you calm in turmoil, in trials of life. Which are you going to let in your life? Are you reaching out to God? Have you left Him be part of your life? Are you claiming God's peace in your life? Challenge I want to leave with you this morning. May the Lord bless as His word went out. Let us kneel for prayer.